This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, October 7th here at Gillette Stadium. A nice quiet bye week in Foxborough. Very little report, so we'll shoot right through this Roster Report podcast here on Patriots.com. You know, Javaris James was let go from the practice squad. Brett Ratliff was added to the practice squad. Old friend Quinn Ojinaka was brought back, offensive lineman. Oh, brought back, you say? There must have been an open roster spot. How indeed did that roster spot open? You might have heard Randy Moss was traded to the Minnesota Vikings with a seventh-round pick in exchange for a third-round pick in April's draft. If you're paying close attention, Patriots now have two picks in each of the first four rounds for next April's draft. As previous trades brought the Raiders pick in the first round, Panthers made a trade in the draft weekend trade for a second-round pick, third-round pick Randy Moss, fourth-round pick Lawrence Maroney. But bigger issue, Paul Perillo. This is a Roster Report podcast, and arguably one of the top two to four players on the New England roster was removed after the fourth game of the season. What the hell does it mean to this team moving forward?
Did you forget what you were going to say in the middle of the sentence there?
No, I just decided, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. What the hell's going on out here?
What
first
the
of
hell
all,
are you guys up to now?
Yeah, gotta be the got to be the biggest trade in the NFL, a midseason trade in the NFL in a long, long time. I know I saw some of the rundowns on ESPN, Eric Dickerson back in 1987. This is certainly as big as any, a guy who's still playing at a very high level.
He led the NFL in touchdowns last year.
Yeah, where do they go from here? Well, I think that you're going to have to change probably a little bit of what you've been doing over the last three-plus seasons in terms of getting the ball downfield to Randy Moss. I don't think they have a guy, Andy, that can consistently stretch the defense, and that is my one concern with this trade, because as we talked about all week on PFW in Progress, I have no problem with making this deal. I certainly saw some signs that Moss would become disruptive. I know that's not for this podcast, but I do have concerns on the offense as a whole and how you create enough space for guys like Wes Welker, Aaron Hernandez, Julian Edelman, if he's used in a little bit bigger of a role now, which I assume he will be. Even a guy like Danny Woodhead, who's provided a little bit of a spark as a back coming out of the backfield, although more as a ball carrier than as a receiver. I wonder where that comes from, where that space comes from. Brandon Tate is a guy who can get downfield, we think, but we haven't seen him asked to do that very often. And then, you know, you're looking further down the roster at guys like Taylor Price, who haven't even been active yet in an NFL game. So that's obviously asking a lot of him. For me, Andy, the key guy is Aaron Hernandez. I think he is your number two receiver now behind Welker. I don't care if it says tight end next to his name. He's a tight end in name only. He's got the skill set to be a receiver, but not a deep threat receiver, and that's one concern that I would have.
I think that is the clear differentiation. The one problem is you're now calling you two guys, your one and two receiver, who in my mind are slot receivers. And that makes it difficult because I've kind of said this all week, to have a slot, you have to have the outside receiver. They have one guy essentially who's even borderline tested in game action as an outside receiver, and that's Brandon Tate. Beyond that, you're talking Matthew Slater has had a few reps here and there where they throw the ball deep to him. He had one earlier this year, but he's a special teamer. With all due respect, he's a special teamer. That's why he's active, and that's why he's gotten a handful of those reps. To me, Taylor Price is the obvious answer because he's a third-round pick. People forget, drafted higher than Aaron Hernandez, who you're now saying is this team's number two receiver. But Taylor Price, who we loved for about 7 to 10 days in training camp somewhere, the very end of July, early August there, thought he looked like a pretty polished young route runner with some speed, some
very
hands, well-rounded.
Yep.
And yet at some point there, it seemed like he hit a wall, and we kind of surmised that the fact that he had missed so much time because of the quarter system at Ohio and he wasn't allowed to report with some of the other rookies kind of cost him some time that started to show up. Has he made any of that back in the recent time, practicing and, you know, meetings and all that? Is he a legitimate option to help out?
I don't think there's any way to answer that question, because
if he's not, I need Eddie Mack again. Yeah. What the hell are they doing?
What the hell are you guys up to now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think there's any way to definitively answer that question. We haven't seen him on the field. He was even banged up a little bit. Early in the first game or two that he was inactive, he was listed on the injury report. I don't think he was last game. We haven't seen him out there. I mean, anybody that tells you what definitively Taylor Price can and cannot do right now is only speculating.
Right.
The coaches have a good idea of what he might be able to do. They've seen his progress in practice and whatnot. But again, Bill says it all the time. Until you actually see it on the game field, there's a whole different it's a whole different animal. So I would say relying on Price to be a big part of the solution here going forward, I think it's way too premature for that. We have to wait to see him do it a little bit. But I think Brandon Tate is a guy, Andy, that can get an increased role. I mean, he looked like he was starting to become a bigger part of the offense in that Monday night win. I thought he made some more catches. Point. Yeah, I mean, looking back now with hindsight, you wonder if the game plan had, Moss getting traded in mind. You know,
the
fact that Moss wasn't a big part of that game plan. But again, even if that was the case, we don't know that for sure, they still had him on the field.
Right.
And that's still, I mean, the Dolphins didn't know that he wasn't going to be part of the game plan when they were out there playing defense. So now you know going forward, and knowing it's half the battle.
Color me concerned, and I'm going to describe it in this way. I think there are questions about every single offensive receiving option on this team right now. Wes Welker has admitted he's not 100%. There's a chance he gets sore at some point, the knee starts, you know, whatever. Or he just never gets to 100% this season. Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, rookies. Everybody talks about the rookie wall. So that's a legitimate concern. Not even talking about expanded roles and responsibilities. Even Brandon Tate is sort of a rookie in terms of playing time. He was active for, what, two games last year? Back on IR. So Julian Edelman has never really stayed healthy and has kind of been a forgotten guy early in this season. Hasn't gotten a lot of run, a lot of throws.
He's a guy I think that could see
under
his role expand a little bit.
But he plays where?
It's back to you a problem.
In the slot.
Slot receivers.
So my
not
question
a candidate
to you
to stretch
is,
the field on the outside.
As an offense, you're supposedly on the offensive. Defenses are supposedly on the defensive.
I mean, you're saying offenses are on the offensive.
They're reacting to what you do. Unless they have no fear, in my mind. If they don't have a fear of being beaten, I think defenses become more aggressive. They fear they become more emboldened to blitz and to do various things to try to take it to you. And that is my biggest concern, that defenses are now given the strength and confidence to be more of an attacking style. And I'm not just talking about the New York Jets or, you know, great defenses. I'm talking about each and every week coaches saying, you know what, my corner can match up with Aaron Hernandez. And
right.
You're telling me he's the number two receiver, so he could see a lot more corners and defensive
that,
backs.
Listen,
now.
That's a definite concern.
And they say,
because if you're
my best
treat him,
corner can match up with Wes Welker. Yeah. When it used to be, my best corner had to go to Moss, and my number two was against Welker, and maybe that was a different tennis-style ladder matchup.
And plus, you could choose to double one
right.
of those guys, even if you don't think your second best corner can handle Hernandez.
Is my concern valid? Is this team
yeah.
more defensible?
Yeah. Well, there's no question, and I'll throw another...
is that a word?
I'll throw another wrench into that plan, Andy. They've run the ball reasonably well the last couple of weeks. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has been absolutely exceptional, I think, the last two games. He's run really hard. He's run with conviction, breaking tackles, maximizing the space that he's had. Well, how much of that space is a result of all of the weapons they have in the passing game and, you know, a safety not being anywhere near the box to get an extra body up there to defend the run? You might see some more of that now. You might see some more. I asked Ben Jarvis Green Ellis about that in the locker room, and he said, I don't know what it's going to be like to run the ball without Randy Moss on the field because I've never done it.
And Wes Welker has never done anything he's done as a New England Patriot without Randy Moss on the field. So there's a lot of uncertainty moving forward, and part of that uncertainty is speculation because right now a lot of people are speculating other moves could come. You know, a lot of fans wanted to put two and two together. Vincent Jackson still on the outs in San Diego. Could he land in New England? Seems like virtually every national media guy has poo-pooed that story, reports that Chargers might want as much as a 1 and a 3 in terms of draft picks
right.
in the AFC to trade him. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. A little bit lower down the ladder, Deion Branch, old friend, report today that Tom Brady's been in contact with Branch over the last week plus, had the understanding the Moss trade may be coming, was kind of feeling out Deion, seeing if he'd want to come back. Deion obviously said last summer he'd love the opportunity. If it came up, he would come back. You know, that bridge is...
yeah.
That's Richard Seymour. I don't think he plays receiver. He would be.
That was Brady.
Oh. Oh, really? Didn't sound
sounded
like
Seymour.
But anyway, my point is there another shoe to fall? Could it be Deion Branch? Come back, knows the system. Brady loves him. Slide in. You know, they need another slot guy like Deion Branch. Could there be another shoe to fall?
I mean, at least with Branch. Branch has played on the outside.
Right.
I mean, I think he's best suited for the slot, I agree, but and his knowledge of the system would be a major plus, too. Clearly had a rapport with Brady. But, you know, listen, there's a lot of moving pieces there. You have to make a trade. You have to agree in compensation. He's got a big contract, which, depending on some of the stories that you've read the last couple of days, may or may not be an issue.
Right.
With bringing Branch aboard, too. Listen, I don't think there's going to be an easy solution. The one thing that I think we know is that Brady can handle this. Brady has played at a very high level without the requisite weapons that he had the last 3 years. So we know that he'll be able to find Welker and Edelman and Hernandez and Gronkowski, and maybe it won't be as dynamic as it has been in terms of the 40-plus points a game, 35 points a game every week. But he'll find a way to be productive, move the football, and score some points. We know that because that's what he's done his whole career.
No question. More than almost any quarterback, he's done it in a variety of ways over the last decade. Full confidence that he will put points on the board. Will it be enough? We'll come to find out because you balance that out with what the defense is doing and how they come together over the last three quarters of
exactly.
the season. But the bottom line is, to recap the story of the week, probably the story of the year, at least here in New England and maybe in the NFL.
Javaris James was released from the practice squad.
That
and
too,
signed with Indianapolis.
That's a big one, but I was leaning towards Randy Moss, traded to the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh,
a seventh-round pick in exchange for a third-round pick. Moss will be on the field Monday night for the Vikings against
the New York Football Jets.
Gangrene, Rex Ryan, and the Jets in the Meadowlands. His third appearance in the Meadowlands in the last month plus.
Tell him we said what's
he also
up,
will
man.
Be,
we appreciate
I think, the
support.
Sixth player.
Yes,
to play 17 games. You know, assuming he remains healthy.
And you know who's
and,
trailing
you know,
on that
go
list?
Completely insane during the season.
One of the others, five players.
Paul
Jerry
Perilla.
Rice, a common name ahead of Randy Moss.
Jerry Rice played 17 games one
played
year.
Played 17 games one year, going from the Raiders to the Seahawks. In case you forgot the Seahawks era of the Jerry Rice career.
No, I didn't.
But the big issue here, Randy Moss. Next month of football will be New York Jets.
Green Bay Packers,
Dallas Cowboys,
New England Patriots.
Halloween night, 4:15 p.m. here in Foxborough, the freak returns. I don't know whether he'll have his mask on or not for Halloween, but it'll be one of the more interesting, entertaining regular season games on the schedule that you will ever see. Until then, and until next Friday, when we come out of the bye week and head towards the Ravens, for Paul Perillo, this is Andy Hart and another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. Peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.